Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick, are you?
Oh yeah, break it down.
Girl, I must warn you, I sense something strange in my mind. Yo, situation is
serious.
Let's cure it cause we're running out of time.
Tell them, Rick.
It's all so
beautiful.
Relationships they seem from the start. It's all so
we can utilize AI using facial recognition. We're in the process of working with the county commissioners to finish the build out of Pensacola Beach. So what you'll have is at Casino Beach parking lot by the next Blue Angel Air Show. Let's just say we get calls all the time because you figure you have 100,000 people on a beach. We'll get a call and say a white male, 9 years old, wearing red shorts and blonde hair is missing. Using artificial intelligence, we can hit a couple of buttons and make everyone else disappear. And we can find every 9-year-old blonde-haired, red short person on that beach within a moment. And now those moments can save that young person's life. And instead of them being kidnapped, drowned, majority is going to be drowned. Kidnapping happens very, very rarely. Most of the time, young people go to the water, especially if they're autistic or things like that, and they drown sadly. So we can stop that from happening within a moment.
So I finally, after, gosh, I think it's only been in place for like 2 years, got to take a look at the real-time crime center that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office has set up in their office on Leonard Street. What does that look mean, John?
No fair.
I told you where I was going.
I know, but you didn't say, hey.
Come on, stink guy, John.
He's just, you know, like a... like a 12-year-old girl that you told you went bonnet shopping without her, just on his hand on his hip, all looking indignant over here, like.
Well, yeah. I could have met you there, man, in a slow Mustang.
That's a story for a different day. Oh, my God. Okay, so, yeah, I finally got a chance to. And basically what it is they've got this space that used to be a gym that they moved all the kind of exercise areas and equipment to elsewhere, and they put in these computers and screens and a control room, and you know, just like, I don't know if you ever watched 24, you know, or War Games, or you know, John's always talking about the big board for traffic, which is completely imaginary. There is no such thing. There's no big board. It's just his way of talking about it. But you think about like the central war room that you might have in any military movie or surveillance movie or anything like that, where there's people and screens and headsets and it's like that. Except it's here in Escambia County, and it's how they monitor what's going on for major criminal events. And it's also kind of a war room where they can give people information based on what's coming in. And it's everything from the cameras at the beach to license plate readers, to cameras that are on the digital billboards that Lamar has, to cameras that are, on poles in Mayfair, or, you know, or at businesses that are allowed, you know, they have a software that allows them, a piece of hardware and a software that allows them to, if you want to have your business camera connected to them, that's something they can do. They do not connect directly to homes. Homes are not, that's not what they want. What they want is if, you know, there's an event in an area and you've signed up your home, then they'll send out an email that says, hey, would you check your cameras and see if you have anything from this period to this period that fits this and this need? And then you can, you know, email it to them, whatever you find. There's no active looking through your cameras at your house. There's nothing like that. They just don't, that's not what goes on. But, you know, all the other cameras, those little ones that are on the little trailers that have the poles, they have that, or the ones that are on the plumber's van they park around town. All these cameras, all connected to one central facility where they can see what's going on. And so as soon as something happens, like if a kid goes missing at the beach during the beach air show, They've got cameras out there, and this is not quite done yet. They're still installing this out at the beach. But what he was saying is that they've got these cameras watching all over the place, and if there's a kid missing in a place where the cameras are covered, and somebody says, we're looking for a 9-year-old blonde kid with a red shirt, and you just tell the AI, I need a 9-year-old kid with, you know, blonde hair and a red shirt, and it'll just zaps all the other people out of the feed, and it'll just show you where those people fitting that description are. Pretty amazing, you know, and will obviously cut down their ability because, you know, eyes are only so useful, but the camera plus the AI is incredibly helpful. It also, obviously, if you're dealing with a more violent kind of danger.
We can also see if there's a shooter, if there's any other issues that occur, we can use AI to quickly locate them, find them, and apprehend them. It's a force multiplier like this community's never seen. And it's using technology to keep our community safer.
And that's the idea, is it's more manpower, it's more eye power, it's more brain power. It's something that enhances that ability to do police work when you're in a concerning situation or if you've had reports of a problem.
Also, every person that comes on and off that beach, we're running their tags. So if you have a convicted felon out of Missouri, which we've had happen, as soon as they hit Pensacola Beach, our deputies are on them. You're not going to come to Pensacola Beach and cause a problem. If you want to, go on down to Navarre. Go on down to Fort Long Beach. Go over to Gulf Shores. I don't care where you go, as long as it's not in Escambia County. Stay in Pensacola. Send the pity of Pensacola. I don't care. You're just not going to come to Pensacola Beach. You're not going to ruin a jewel, what we have for economic growth here in our community.
I think Andrew Hobbs does actually care about Navarre and Pensacola, but, you know, it's not there. I mean, they do have reciprocity agreements. But, yeah, the idea is all of these cameras, all of these feeds, all of these people, it's not staffed 24 hours. They'd like to get it to that point. But as I was sitting there in the room, I'm looking at a bank of screens on the left side of the room that's all the Pensacola Beach cameras. And I'm looking at a central screen area where they had license plate readers operating. And then I had one on the right that was, I guess, out of this Lamar billboard on Fairfield. And they can pull up whatever they need, whether it's those, whether it's drone video because somebody is out operating a drone because they've got a drone on every shift in the Escambia County Sheriff's Office now.
Also, as we push technology forward, we're...
By the way, that doesn't mean the drones are up and operating. They're not allowed to up and surveil without a warrant. But if they are in an area where there's an active investigation or there's a warrant, that's different. They don't have drone surveillance going all the time. I want to clarify, that's not allowed.
Also, as we push technology forward, we are the first agency in the state of Florida to have a full-time operating drone unit on every shift. The first agency in the state
that's
of Florida.
That's available to
operate. We have agencies three times our size coming up here to try to see how we do it. It wasn't difficult. I just used the model of canines. That's what I try to tell them. Guys, this isn't hard. We put a canine in every shift. You just treat it as a canine, but you give it another person. Now, it does a lot of work and time to get everybody a certified pilot because you have to be a certified pilot to be a drone operator in the state of Florida, especially if it's commercial. So that allows us to feed back all the drone footage back to real time.
And again, they can just pull that up. In fact, there's one kind of station that's, it's not quite like the command station, but it's in the back of the room facing the same way the screens are. And you stand there and it's a touch screen and it shows you everything that's happening in the county. Every active camera that's connected in the county. If there are officers that are at calls, officers en route, officers available. If you've got, incident reports that are going on, past drone activity, you know, so you can, and you can basically zoom in to 9 Mile and Pine Forest, and you can see that there's a little blue dot there because I don't know if this is true, but let's imagine that the Publix has decided to connect their camera to the sheriff's office, and they can just beep, beep, pull up the camera feed from the Publix on this touch screen. And then they're talking to the people that are trying to apprehend the guy that robbed the bank across the street, and he ran toward the Publix parking lot, and he's run out behind there. I probably in that area. It's probably impossible what I'm describing, but just go with it, okay? And they've put up a drone overhead, and they can see from the drone, you know, where if it's at night, where the heat signature is from the guy, and then the phones that they all are getting the newest round of walkie-talkies radios. have a GPS in them that can tell them exactly where the officer is, even when he's out of the car. So they can tell that, you know, Officer Jimmy is 100 feet that way. Officer Jennifer is 1,400 feet that way. And they can tell them where each other is. And then they can see the heat signature from the guy who's pretending to lay down in the woods and hide behind a tree or whatever, that they can see him with the FLIR, the, you know, infrared. And they can say, well, okay, he's 100 feet to your right. You know, it's pretty amazing. It's not quite what you imagine on a movie where they do this stuff and they go way beyond what the technology can even do, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. You know, if you call and say, you know, hey, something's going on, this is what I'm seeing, and they can text you a link, and then you can click the link, and that'll feed your phone's video back to them at the real-time crime center, so you become a temporary camera for the sheriff's office that they can see what you see through your phone. So maybe don't do crimes in Escambia County.
I think that's the big lesson we're learning from you, Andrew.
That was kind of the takeaway that he was getting at.
So in the future, so this all ties together, if you call 911 and you're on a cell phone, I can send a link to you, and you can click it, and you could feed it back to the real-time crime center and show me what you're seeing. So our dispatchers will be able to see what exactly is happening in the future. There's no way better. There's no loss in communication. Because I will tell you this, the hardest job in Escambia County Sheriff's Office is dispatch. We answer over 300,000 calls for service a year. By far, the largest amount of phone or calls for service any agency, any person, any group does in the Panhandle. We are the largest agency until you get to Jacksonville. People forget about how large the Sheriff's Office is.
Yeah, it's a massive area, you know, call volume, surface area footprint compared to the city of Pensacola. And again, it's a force multiplier. It's extra people. Now, I also know, because, you know, I'm not dumb, that I have grown up watching the movies about surveillance state stuff, you know, like Enemy of the State, you know, and you got the people on the ground and you got the helicopter and the drones overhead and you're doing all this stuff. And I mean, yeah, it's like that. And there is a part of me that when I'm watching all this, I'm like, man, that is amazing. If there's an active shooter in the school, you've got the cameras in the school wired into the sheriff's office, and you can pull up the hallway and see and tell the deputies where to go. That's amazing. Also, you can see the kids and what they're doing because it's a camera system. Is it always only good to have surveillance everywhere? No, it's not always only good. There's a loss of privacy. There's a loss of freedom of movement. There's a loss of independence from the government. It just is. But it's also a great way to cut down on crime, to discourage crime, and to find criminals, and to help people in distress. And the loss is sort of theoretical, but the gain is very practical and readily immediate. So as much as I am always kind of about that kind of surveillance state, I've seen this in action, and I've heard the stories of some of the things that it's been able to help them do, and, like, man, that's a pretty good advantage. That technology keeps my kids safe, my wife safe, other people's kids safe, you know, and it works consistently. 520, why is crime down across the country? You heard the mayor say this the other day. Chip says there's a variety of factors, but certainly one of them is, just, you know, the technology. There's less crime because there's much better technology. Period. 523 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, I almost hated to spring that one on that bonehead. Hey, I made a funny.
And we rode motorcycles, blackjack, classic vinyl, tough girl is what I had to be. Take care of your mother, watch out for your sister. Oh, that's when he gave to me with his gun.
Good morning, 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Democrat leaders in Minnesota announcing a lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security. The lawsuit over the surge of additional ICE agents into Minneapolis after the deadly shooting involving an ICE agent recently. The state attorney general Keith Ellison says that the agents are making illegal arrests and alleges that they are untrained and causing chaos in the city. The Supreme Court hearing arguments tomorrow on cases involving transgender athlete bans.
Today, I believe.
Is it today?
Yeah.
The justices are considering challenges out of Idaho and West Virginia on whether the states can ban transgender girls from participating in women's and girls' sports. And the U.S. is telling Americans to immediately leave Iran as the protests there continue. The State Department is asking U.S. citizens to leave Iran, prepare for communication blackouts, and avoid demonstrations. I don't know how many U.S. citizens would be in Iran, but
you wouldn't think the number's high, but I saw
don't
the same
know that
thing
we're in, you know, really all that welcome.
Yeah.
Generally.
Well, you saw, like, you know, the advisory to get out of Venezuela, to which I'm thinking, if your dumbass is in Venezuela and you're an American,
sometimes you got to see the writing on the wall.
I mean, I had a friend who was in Curacao, and at the time the attack or the, you know, snatch and grab took place, and she was like, I was not able to get my flight because they had closed the airspace, which is understandable because it's right yeah. there, you know, and kind of makes you wonder about other things that might happen, right? So. Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. I don't know what I was going to do. I kind of got caught between giving you the phone number and the time. So I would have given you just a random series of numbers jumbled all together. Oh, I saw the funniest thing. Speaking of random numbers, because that's how my brain works now that I've talked myself into it. I saw a post yesterday. It just made me laugh. It was, I want to find it because I want to say it the way they said it. It was so funny. Oh, microwaves. Microwaves have like 32 buttons, but really you only need 4, including number buttons. Look them in the eye and tell me you ever used the 7 key. It's true. You have a number pad. You never use the 7.
7 minutes.
No, you don't. When do you put 7 minutes on the microwave?
I don't know.
Come
but
on,
I was
never.
Just trying to help you.
You never do.
Oh.
The 8, the 9, the 6. I mean, you need like the 1, the 2, and the 3, start, timer, defrost, you're done. I mean, this, I thought it was funny because you think about it like, oh, you got, if you're going to make a number pad, you got to have a number pad. Why? You never use the 7.
You don't put in there like a minute and 47 seconds?
Well, when you do, let me make sure they take away all your guns, because only a psycho. Okay? If only a psycho. I'm worried about you.
I'm asking for
and
a
what
friend.
Might happen to your friends and neighbors and the people at the post office you go to. 529 on News Radio 92.3. A lot of other things going on today. In addition to the Supreme Court oral arguments, we've got the various interviews with the police chief candidates going to take place tonight at the Sanger Theater. There's also, was it today or yesterday? There was going to be a Chamber of Commerce set of interviews, too, if I remember correctly. But anyway, the one tonight at the Sanger is at 5:30, so you can meet the potential chiefs of police, including one from, you know, Eric Goss from here, is the current deputy chief or assistant chief or chief in training, or I can never remember which title we give him. But anyway, he's second in command to Chief Brown. And then also today his session kicks off. So we're back to having more government temporarily. Short, 60 days. And then there's going to be a special session, you know, on redistricting or whatever. The governor gives his State of the State address at 10:30, I think is right, about 10:30 today. 10:15 today is when that, 11:15 Eastern time. So a lot of things going on. I think we're probably going to carry that maybe during pep talk. 50% chance.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump travels to Michigan, taking Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent with him. They will tour a Ford factory in Dearborn, home to the F-150 truck. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt touting the price of gas on Monday while speaking to Fox.
The national average of gasoline is the lowest that it's been in 5 years.
At 8:30 a.m. Eastern, a reading on inflation, the consumer price index. A president putting the financial squeeze on Iran.
Iran's trading partners will face a 25% tariff on goods imported to the U.S., President Trump says, as he threatens military strikes over Iran's response to protests across the country.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Illinois, Minnesota, each filing separate lawsuits against the Trump administration. They want to get rid of ICE on their streets, arguing the president's immigration crackdown is terrorizing their communities and violating the Constitution. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got clear skies with 31 degrees here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast, Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 on the way in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola residents can meet the three finalists for police chief tonight at the Sanger Theater, a public forum starting at 5:30 tonight. The city did narrow down the field from 65 applicants to Brian Dugan, Eric Winstrom, and Eric Goss. Now, attendees won't be able to directly ask questions, but officials do say they'll be addressing themes from submitted questions. Mayor D.C. Reeves will make that final decision. There's no timeline for exactly when that will happen. An RV caught on fire Monday in North Escambia County. That happened on Highway 29 near South Century Boulevard in McDavid. The RV was attached to a truck when it went up in flames. Nobody was hurt, but the fire did cause major damage. One southbound lane was closed while crews worked the scene. That case is still under investigation. Now, Florida's citrus industry facing some lower harvest projections for the 2025-26 season. Austin Price with those details.
That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The forecast estimates production at 12 million boxes of oranges, down from 12.2 million in the season prior, and 1.2 million boxes of grapefruit, down from 1.3 million. Specialty crops such as tangerines and tangelos expected to remain at last season's levels, while lemon production is projected to actually increase. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins officially joining the race for Florida governor. Collins announcing yesterday that he's entering the Republican primary. He was in Tallahassee. Collins leaned heavily on his military background, saying Florida needs steady leadership willing to take on tough fights, even when the odds aren't great.
Today, I am announcing I will be running to become the next governor of the free and great state of Florida, to follow on after Governor Ron DeSantis.
And the GOP field already includes Trump-endorsed Congressman Byron Donalds. Collins said he has no personal issues with Donalds, but he did reference allegations involving undisclosed stock trades. Governor DeSantis has not endorsed anybody to replace him. Now, President Trump turning up the pressure on Cuba recently, saying the Caribbean nation needs to strike a deal with the U.S. before it's too late, now that Venezuelan oil and money are being cut off under U.S. policy.
Cuba declared today a date of national defense. Even schools and university classes have been canceled so they can start training for a possible invasion by the United States.
And Cuban President Miguel Diaz-Canel responding on social media yesterday, saying Cuba's always been open to serious dialogue, but he says only on terms based on international law. Experts say the Cuban government remains defiant even as it faces a deepening energy shortage and economic strain after the blockade of Venezuelan oil. It is 5:34, and let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3.
We are going to be looking at temperatures starting off very cold this morning, but getting around 59 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44. As you head into Wednesday, some cloudy skies with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. As you head into Thursday, going to be staying chilly and breezy through the day. Sunny skies, high near 49. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 31 degrees. Clear skies. Guys, right now, our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Allegheny Health Network has tapped West Penn Hospital's top official to lead a regional affiliation of doctors and their practices. Dr. Brian Johnson, who's been president of West Penn Hospital since 2020, was named medical director and chief population health officer at Physician Partners of Western PA. President Trump said in a social media post that Microsoft will announce changes to ensure that Americans won't see rising utility bills as the company builds more data centers to meet rising artificial intelligence demand. Technology companies have been racing to open data centers, and utility prices in states with data centers have increased. OpenAI has acquired the healthcare technology startup Torch. Torch was building a unified medical memory for AI that aimed to bring a patient's health data into one place. OpenAI and Torch did not disclose the terms of the acquisition. Futures are slightly lower. On Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 86, the NASDAQ up 62, the S&P 500 up 10. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 92% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
You know, every time I play that song, well, John plays that song technically, and I think you picked that song too, didn't you, for Jimmy? That song puts you in a certain mood, and honestly, it's a very Jimmy Patronus mood. It's a perfect song for Jimmy Patronus. I hope he likes it. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you, Congressman.
Yeah, that's the only song you've ever played when I've come on the air. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
It's perfect. It's a happy song. It's a good song. It's a, you know, I'm gonna give you a compliment that I suppose some people might not think is a compliment, but in all the times that you and I have talked, to me, Jimmy Patronis is a regular person. He's a normal dude. He's got family. He's got struggles. He's got questions. He's got jokes. He's got things he doesn't know and things that he does know. He doesn't pretend to be something that he isn't, as far as I can tell. And so that song to me is like, it represents you. You know, you get every weekend you try to come home from not being D.C. and that makes sense to me. And when you're in D.C., you're living, you're telling me you're living in a mansion in D.C., right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, about 600 square feet basement apartment. So I walked down a flight of stairs down this, it's almost like a ditch, but it's home. So
down a ditch into your basement one bedroom apartment with 600 square feet and a washer and a dryer. And it's funny because, you know, when congressmen are here in district, we always celebrate you and, you know, notice you and recognize you. And in D.C., you're like, the peons, you know, these representatives, they're everywhere like vermin. It's so funny, the differences. So I love that. There's so much going on in the world. I want to get to as much of it as we can. The things that aren't as much in the headlines, though, you continue to work on this tech stuff and keeping social media safe for kids and in your own office, you know, you have a lot of young people. I met some of them the other day. You have a lot of young people working for you, which that can create some tension between the dad who sees this issue from the safety of the kids' point of view and the young people who see this from the I want to be able to do what I want to do on social media point of view, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's very important when you're a policymaker, at least in my opinion, and I know we've got all types of ages and generations we represent. Right. I think it's important you've got kids. If you're going to put your name on the ballot, you think about the decisions you're making in a whole different way because how it's impacting others. And look, I don't like the idea of creating a nanny state in our country, but I do think that big tech, AI, has got to be a little more, they don't self-govern. And if you don't, you know, threaten them at least with putting legislation in play, they'll just continue doing what they're doing. And, you know, this is what I think, you know, Trump's been very good at. Trump doesn't write a law for every single thing he wants to accomplish. But he'll go out there and he'll voice his opinion through Truth or through X. And it's amazing how we have a correction in some of the policies that some of these entities are doing. And you're making some of these changes without writing a new law, you know, just saying, hey, you're just calling out somebody for bad behavior. So, and we were talking a little bit earlier about Section 230. I mean, more and more, I'd like to see a repeal of it. And 230 just gives protections to the social media companies to just allow the type of, you know, wild, wild west to exist that ultimately just leads to bad outcomes.
You know, it strikes me suddenly, and I've not thought about this comparison before, but Section 230 creates a kind of protection around social media companies that immunizes them. This is just the basics of it. Immunizes them from litigation for content on their platforms. But what it winds up doing is it winds up giving them the kind of power to do anything they want, like railroads have. You know, just this unlimited, unfettered, you know, you control it. There's nothing we can do, and you're this behemoth, and, you know, we have no control. But it's even worse than that. It'd be like if the railroads could just drive their trains down the street and hit cars and you couldn't do anything to stop them is kind of what it feels like to me. It's railroad power and authority and control with even greater danger. I mean, that's kind of how I think of what Section 230 does for the social media companies.
Sure. I mean, it really gives them a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
And I would really like to, like I said, I can't go on your radio or I can't go in town and buy a billboard that says, you know, paint every, you know, car red or attack every, you know, building that has this particular, you can't sell me an ad like that because you're liable. The billboard companies can't sell me ads that would invoke harm or violence because they would be held liable. But the social media companies can have these posts all over their platform and there's nothing that we can do about it. And I think that creates an environment where we're encouraging and allowing some bad behavior to start to develop. I just, you know, and you threaten it, maybe these guys, you know, it's like the other day, Instagram saying, you know what, tell Congress to pass the whatchacallit act because it'll protect kids under the age of 13. It's like what I told you the other day. There's nothing that keeps Meta from not doing this right now.
Right.
Why do we need a new law for us to force Meta to do something that they're advocating for? Well, probably because they want to make sure their competition has to do the same thing.
Well, and of course, it's even worse than what they'll say is, well, it's impossible to police everybody very effectively. And I mean, there's some truth in that. Part of the answer to that is, well, then maybe the thing itself is a problem. But not only is it difficult to police, they actively push content, right? The algorithm deliberately funnels to you things that are radicalizing, 100%. Reinforcing, harmful. And so this, oh, well, it's not my fault. Well, yeah, but you use the algorithm, which itself is a content moderator. That's why you become more like a publisher and less like a billboard and, you know, all of these wrangles that we've been having at the Supreme Court. So I'm not very sympathetic to them. Go ahead.
No, and this is like we talked earlier. They purposely make their devices sticky.
Sure.
You know, they just purposely, they know, especially if you've gone and you've decided you want to renovate your bathroom and you've clicked on one reel regarding, well, then you know what? Your reel is, your whole feed is full of bathroom renovations.
Right.
I mean, and it's no
for a year.
The sophistication, yeah. And it's no different than the sophistication of what our kids' Christmas card lists look like now, what they want for Christmas. I mean, there's specific model numbers to devices, baseball gloves, cologne, you name it. It's just all because this is the new G.I. Joe TV ad that we see on Saturday mornings.
You know, it is funny. Just a small note is, I know when my 19-year-old has been looking at exercise equipment on his computer because I get the ads in my social media, or he's looking at cologne, so I get the ads, and it cracks me up so much how in some ways dumb the algorithm is. Anyway, okay, let's start with Venezuela because that's kind of came first chronologically.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate voted 52-47 to advance a war powers resolution to, you know, basically require that the president come to Congress before he take military action. My expectation is that if the House even votes on it, the House would vote no. But you tell me, what's going on in the House with regards to this?
Yeah, we've got the minibus, so we have three appropriations bills that we're going to pass out this week. And I don't know if we'll see that as a part of the voting structure. But I was listening to Josh Hawley, and these guys, you know, there's definitely – He voted to clip the President's War Powers Act, but then when he out there and makes a statement about it, he says, "Yeah, before the the President creates a full scale invasion of Venezuela, we have to we have to approve." Well, no joke. So I mean, so it's kind of one of these things. These guys, man, they just perpetually love to get their sound bites out there in front of the national media. They love to become a point of controversy. And, you know, I think, yeah, in an extreme set of circumstances, exactly. But, you know, with what the president pulled off in Venezuela, you know, no loss of U.S. life, got in there and literally captured a world leader and flew him out and brought him to a jail cell in New York City. Don't you know that the technology that was in Venezuela, I'm digressing from your original question, but
that's
don't
all right.
You know the technology in Venezuela? You know, it's Russian, it's Chinese, it's Iranian technology. United States got in and got out, okay? Nobody got killed.
On our side, right.
Got killed.
Most of the people who got killed seem to be Cubans, actually, yeah, which is proof of the point of foreign influence in Venezuela, whether it's Iran or Russia, China, or Cuba, right? So, yeah.
And all these other countries around the world that have been bad actors are now thinking long and hard about how aggressive do we push our agenda? Do we quit being knuckleheads? So, I mean, I think there were so many things accomplished. And like I said, these senators, they're just sometimes they just can't help themselves. They've got to get some camera time.
Let's talk about Greenland for a second. I'll let you respond to me because my statement on Greenland has been, if we can negotiate a transfer, if we can purchase it, I am all for it. Not to make it a state, but to acquire the territory because it's useful for interceptors. It's useful for, sea defense. It's useful for all kinds of things. Whether the rare earths ever turn out because they're buried in the froze, I don't know. But purchase it, great. On the other hand, military action, which the president keeps continuing to refuse to rule out, military action against a NATO ally would be an immediate impeachable offense, in my opinion. Your thoughts?
You got to remember, this guy has made his fortune, all his success, is on his ability to negotiate. And part of the leverage in negotiations is he has got to float that out there as part of what he's willing to go to. I know this. Antarctica has been colonized by the Chinese. The Obama administration says no more, you know, oil exploration in the Antarctic shelf. So now what's happened is that that has given free roam to China and all their icebreakers up there. So the president's kind of like,
wait, Antarctica or Arctic?
We've got to start pushing back.
I'm sorry, just to be clear, the icebreakers are in the Arctic Circle, but the oil exploration is in Antarctica, right? I mean, I'm not sure which one you meant. I just want to be clear. I know what you're talking about.
Antarctica is the top one, correct?
No, the Northern Pole. Antarctica is on the bottom. Antarctica is where there's land underneath.
Okay, all right, then,
Arctic
now,
is
all right,
just ice. Yeah.
It's the Northern Pole.
Thank you. Okay.
Get the Antarctic versus that. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Encyclopedia. it's the Northern Pole. So China has had their presence there. So I mean, the president is definitely got a lot to be concerned. Now, do I think if he can negotiate a deal with the citizens of Greenland to say, all right, you know, I think Denmark spends a whopping $600,000 a year in their role and impact and support of Greenland. Yeah, I think the president will buy it all day long. So, I mean, you just got to just bring that in for a length. I do think the peace of mind that we would have is for national security. We need to control this hemisphere.
But again, I understand that Trump says a lot of extreme things, but it worries me that threatening military action against a NATO ally, let alone against anybody, you know, we're not an empire. You know, it bothers me to have a president even hint at that being an area of possibility. That's horrifying, you know, to me.
I say this is his negotiating tactics that he uses. You know, he has got Denmark who's trying to figure out how to manage what he might do next. And I think he has got to leave everything out there in order to try to get to a point of leveraging the conversation in order to cut a good deal. And I think in the case of what the president is envisioning, a good deal is even purchasing Greenland outright. So we'll see where it goes. But I do think every time he's flexing along these issues, he's keeping Russia and China at bay.
Well, again, acquiring it in the end, I'm all for it. Through purchase, I'm all for it. That'd be fantastic. Switching to a different continent entirely, the protests in Iran, as many as 500 people more than have been killed. We've got several weeks of protesting. Thousands, possibly 10 to 15,000 people have been imprisoned. Again, you know, President Trump is kind of supporting but not really supporting, and we've done this before. We've kind of let the protesters hang out, you know, air out to dry when we did not support them after the last time around. But what do you think happens in Iran, and what should we do, if anything?
You know, the problem with Iran is it's been destabilized. They've shut down their internet. They have shut down their telephones. They at least by indications, reports of they're capturing protesters and doing Lord knows what to them. So
yeah.
So now do we how far do we go into this? We've created some chaos for them, but you know what? Again, they were being knuckleheads. They were continuing to threaten, color outside of the lines, destabilizing the Middle East, and is it now even more destabilized? Maybe. You know, I know the president cares. But I mean, I've also, you know, I've got also a lot of concerns right here in our own backyard that I want to be focused on.
No, fair enough. Same. And, you know, though I hate the name, the Donroe Doctrine in Central and Southern America, I mean, right. I think we are long overdue for exerting our influence in the Western Hemisphere. Speaking of that, things that are of a concern back here, you toured at least NAS Pensacola and I think maybe some other places, but you tell me if I'm wrong, with the Undersecretary of the Navy, Hung Cao, who was here last week sometime. What did you see? What did you learn? What do they want to do with regard to our facilities here?
So the important was I've known Hung now for probably about 15 years. He's been stationed in Northwest Florida a couple times. He's just a great human being. And anyway, he wanted to come down and spend some time at Pensacola, and he had to go over to Mobile for commissioning the next day. But, you know, we wanted to show them some of the deficiencies there at Pensacola. And Mama San, you know, and I ran him around and showing him some of the different things and getting things on his dashboard so at least he could see it with his own two eyes. I think it's important. I'm a visual learner. And, you know, yeah. I think when you take the time to go and bring somebody who is in his business and can give them a firsthand account of where you could use some enhancements to your facilities, I think it just helps, you know, the narrative when you do eventually make those things come to life.
No, I very much agree. And, you know, seeing growth and, you know, we're trying to, you know, bring the Coast Guard training facility maybe here, you know, that would be the mm-hmm. boot camp. That would be fantastic. You know, and as you say, exposure breeds knowledge and familiarity, and a thing starts to feel more like a thing that's a part of you as opposed to or an important thing that you care about instead of just a thing you've read about in some briefing. And, you know, all those things, they make little differences, just like you've said your office in D.C. is, you know, right next to the military offices, and that creates a level of influence, that kind of soft power, even in politics. It's incredibly important for getting your way. Jimmy Petronas, go ahead.
Well, and to that point, so Okaloosa County has been needing their AtoNs replaced. Well, I'm next door to the Coast Guard. I mean, I tell you, I'm convinced the only reason why we were able to pull off getting those AtoNs replaced is just, you know, constantly knocking on the door next door asking the Coast Guard, when are you going to replace them? And they eventually get tired of hearing from you.
Hey, look, nagging works. I mean, it does, you know. And it especially works if they like you and you're nagging. I mean, you know, they kind of want to do something nice for you. So, Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a fantastic week.
I hate to say it, but nagging does work. It's true. Oh, man. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
This day has been real disappointing, I don't mind saying.
Good morning, 5:57 on News, 58, let's say, on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David, on this cold morning, almost freezing in the area. Go ahead, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. A Georgia prison is on lockdown while a deadly riot is under investigation. The Georgia Department of Corrections said yesterday that fights that broke out the day before inside of their Washington State prison were gang-related. Three inmates were killed, 13 inmates and a guard were treated for injuries after that.
Hey, is that barge still on fire over Mobile?
You know, I'm not sure.
I think it is. I think I was watching this morning on the news and one of the Mobile stations I happen to have on for a second, and they're like, that shot in the distance, is the barge still on fire? Okay. I mean, I guess it takes a while.
Looks like as of early this morning, yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes, it is. Minnesota and Illinois both suing the Trump administration over immigration enforcement activities. The lawsuits were filed on Monday after the Trump administration surged enforcement activity in both Chicago and Minneapolis. And Paramount... go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm trying to figure it out. is it a news story that in Minnesota in January, the people want to get ICE off their streets?
Well... Not.
Did you get it yet?
No, not. Okay. I get it. Yeah. I wish I had the boo button.
But.
Boo.
But you don't.
I don't. And I never will.
Turn me up a little bit, John. That's too loud. It's not loud enough.
Boo.
Did we finally give the button to John?
No, it's me. It's me. I have the power. Well, Andrew, it's a very serious subject. Yeah, but it's 5:59.
Listen on air.